زيته.
All right. So we have a new man. Praise God. We have a new spirit within us. We have a new nature within us. Much like that of Adam and Eve before the fall when they walked with God. We are able to walk with God. And I want you to know this morning that this it's a fact that the Lord is here with us. He meets here with us. It's a promise. Absolutely. I was at a gospel singing one time, and I was up on stage, you know, just sat kind of in the background, and the guy walked up to me and he said, I believe the Lord is going to be in the house tonight. And I had to say, he already is. He said, what do you mean? I said, because he came with me. He came with me. Amen. He literally dwells in our heart. Praise God. All right, let's sing some songs of praise to him. Going to be in your green hymnals. We're going to try this one again. Page 308. Only trust him. This is in times like these. About him every Sunday. He alone can save a soul.
Good morning, everyone. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened by being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lavishness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
All right. So turn with me this morning to the book of John in chapter 14. There are a lot of things that we say, proclaim, and teach on a regular basis. And some of them we don't dwell on enough sometimes. And so this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about what we claim and what I've already said this morning, and that is that Jesus Christ dwells within us. Do you really believe that? Do you really know that in your heart, that He's with you? Doesn't matter where you go. You can't go anywhere away from Him because He goes with you. He's there. Jesus Christ actually indwells us. Now, to the natural person, the natural heart, this kind of seems like sci-fi, doesn't it? It kind of seems like maybe a Halloween story where ghosts or spirits come and dwell in people and take over people's bodies, this kind of thing. But I want to point out this morning that that's not the case. God is a spirit. The Bible proclaims this. And God, when He saves us, He literally puts in us His Spirit. Jesus Christ, if you believe that He hung on the cross of Calvary to purchase your sin debt, He indwells your heart this morning. He's really there. He's really there. He is the Comforter. All right, let's read John chapter 14, and we'll begin in verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Now in my Bible, these letters are red. That tells me that the Master himself is speaking to me this morning through this word. And that's what he does, isn't it? Absolutely. God could accomplish his will and his task in any way that he wanted to. But he has designed this teaching to be through the foolishness of preaching, as the Bible calls it, and that preaching of his word. This is his way. The preachers that he has called to preach, and as Brother Chuck pointed out last week, he calls the least of us. He does. The least of us. Why? Because that shows that it has to be from God, doesn't it? I have no ability to preach the truth to you, but God does through me. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. When the Lord saves us, he gives us a view of ourselves, doesn't he? He does. A view that we could never have on our own. Because we think we're fine. Why is that? Because, and we touched on this a little bit last week, the disease of sin affects our minds. That's exactly what it does. The disease of sin shields us from the truth. It's like we have blinders over our eyes. But praise God, as he did Saul, he takes those scales off of our eyes so that we can see. First of all, he shows us ourselves once again. He gives us a view of ourselves that we can't see on our own. But when he enlightens us and opens up our understanding in and through his word, then we see ourselves in the position we're actually in the condition we're actually in. That condition is fallen and separated from God. We can't realize and understand that on our own. The natural man does not see the truth. The natural man does not see Jesus as himself, as he is. Well, Jesus is the truth, isn't he? Absolutely. He proclaimed, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the provider of life. We have life because we have been given it by him. We have him within us because we have been given his presence. That's a great gift of God. He will not leave us comfortless. What do we need comfort from? The vision of ourselves that he gave us. The realization that we are sinners, lost and undone, without hope, except through him. But God loved us enough to send his only begotten Son to give his life for us. Even the Spirit of truth, back in verse 17, whom the world cannot receive. Why can the world not receive it? And when it says the world, it's talking about me before the Lord saved me. He's talking about the natural man without God indwelling him, without the life that God gives, the new life, the new heart, the new nature that doesn't know sin. Before all that, the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. Why not? Well, because by nature we have those blinders on. By nature we cannot see the Lord as he is. And he certainly is the Spirit of truth, isn't he? Absolutely. The world cannot receive him. We could not receive him. Why? Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you that believe that he hung on the cross for you, you who through faith have him dwelling within your heart and mind, you know him. You know him how? Because you have his presence in your life. Because he indwells you. That means to live in, doesn't it? He dwells within you. He lives within you. Now, the natural person can't understand that. But through faith, God reveals it to us. In other words, we believe it. And then, he allows us to live it. To live this life with him indwelling us. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Amen. Jesus hung on the cross and gave his perfect life voluntarily for you because he loved you. But it didn't end there, did it? No. In 3 days, after defeating death, hell, and the grave, and every enemy of God, which is enemy of yours, if they're enemies of God, they're our enemies. He defeated all of our enemies. And then, praise God, he rose from the dead. Because he lives, we live. See, he purchased this life that's within us. He purchased this knowledge of him. He purchased this presence of him in our life. He paid for that. Because he lives, we live. What a Savior. What a Savior. Because I live, ye shall also live. Live also. Verse 20. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye are in me, and I in you. What a peace that is. To know that there's nowhere I can wander where he's not going to bring me back. There's no sin that he's not going to provide an escape from. He knows all about me. He knows all about you. And he dwells within our hearts as we believe in him. He that hath my commandments, verse 21, that's the word of God. And we have the word of God, don't we? Man's tried to destroy it from the very beginning. But God is in control. And we have his word. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So again, if you believe in Jesus Christ this morning as your Savior, you have Jesus Christ in your heart, and he has what? Manifest himself to you. He has made you aware. He has revealed himself to you. Well, let me tell you, that is an eternal gift that there's nothing that compares to it. Nothing can compare to that. It's forever. All right. Now turn with me to where Isaiah left off. Ephesians chapter 3. Actually, it's the chapter before, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 3. All right, we'll begin in verse 14. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, this is Paul speaking, and he's writing to the church at Ephesus. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Well, that's something we can't fathom, isn't it? The riches of his glory. To be strengthened with might. That's what we need, isn't it? To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. How does the Spirit strengthen us with might in the inner man unless he's present there? He is. He's present. He lives within us. He strengthens us. The Lord is at the right hand of the Father now making intercession for us to give us strength and to help us in our infirmities. And that means spiritual weaknesses. In our spiritual weaknesses, we are strengthened by the Spirit of God. What power! And we don't even act like we know about it, don't we? We don't even acknowledge that we have that kind of power within us to be strong in the truth, to stand up for Jesus Christ in truth, not to filter his word, not to water it down so that people are happy to come listen to it in their natural state. He gives us the strength to proclaim the truth in its entirety. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's our lesson this morning, isn't it? In and by and through believing in him, he dwells within us. It's a promise. The Lord used a particular scripture to save me, and it had to do with the Lord and Savior talking to Nicodemus. And he told Nicodemus, he gave Nicodemus a formula or a layout of how he must be saved. He said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Well, he wasn't talking about baptism, because the entire analogy that he was using was the birth of a person, a human being being born. You must be born of the water. When you were born, your mother's water broke. You come forth out of a sack of water, didn't you? Absolutely. And that's what he was talking about, the natural birth. You must be a person, born, and then you must be born of the Spirit. That's the second birth. That is the faith that God gives us to believe in him as our Savior. And one of the results of that belief is the presence of him in our heart. Oh, what a Savior. He has thought of everything, hasn't he? He has provided all that we need, that Christ may dwell in your heart. And remember, this is Paul praying about this, right? That's what he said. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Verse 17 again. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. May be able to comprehend Ah, this is that belief that goes past our understanding. A faith that we trust God's word, even if we don't totally understand it. Yet we trust Him and we trust His word. That we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. So what is he talking about? He is talking about the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the saving, powerful through the Spirit, knowledge of Jesus Christ that only he can give. The depth of the Word of God. It's amazing, isn't it? You can stop anywhere in this book and spend time there. And I'll tell you, it just keeps growing and growing, doesn't it? It's amazing. There's no doubt that God wrote this book by inspiring men. No doubt about it. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Isn't that something? He loves us so much we really can't understand it. We really can't understand why he would love a wretch like me. But he has granted to us this faith that we might comprehend the breadth, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, there's coming a time when we will be filled with all the fullness of God. As Brother Chuck says, we won't be dragging this water bag around no more. Praise God. We'll be able to rightly serve Him then, with no sin or distractions. So back to verse 17. He's praying that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that being rooted and grounded in love. Why did Jesus convince us that we needed Him? Why did He show us ourselves so that we could see our need for a Savior? Because He loved us. Because He loved us. We need to be rooted and grounded in Him and in His truth. In love. Our new walk in Him is in response to this faith that He gives us in Him. That's what changes us. The Bible says that He gives us a new heart. Our old heart was like stone and impenetrable. Didn't want anything to do with God, but He changed that and He softened our heart. That we might what? Receive Him. Praise God, He lives within us. So our new walk is in response to the change He's made in us. And one of those changes is His presence. Oh, I know He's present here with us. Once again, I say He came here with me. And I believe He came here with you. And He has promised. And He is the God of faithful promises. What a Savior. Alright, verse 21. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Alright. Now, chapter 4. In verse 17, Isaiah has already read it to us. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, from now on, from this point forward, as it was pointed out earlier, don't look back. Look forward. I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, or as we previously walked. Why? Because we've been changed. Why? Because we have a comforter that dwells within us, leading and directing us, in whom we follow. Henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. That sounds like me before God saved me. I didn't understand how Jesus would save a soul or why. But I do now. Before, I was like this one being described here, being alienated from the life of God. Through what? Ignorance. I didn't know about Him. People told me about Him, but it didn't penetrate my mind or heart. Why? Because my heart was hardened against God. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them and used to be in us because of the blindness of their heart. Oh, what a Savior. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Where did we learn Christ from? The Master Himself. The Master Himself through His Word. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. What's the truth in Jesus? It's total dependence on Him for salvation, isn't it? Total dependence on Him. That ye put off concerning the former conversation. That's not just talking. That's a way of life, that conversation. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That old man is the one with the hard, stony heart, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, have the mind of Christ. Paul directs us to do exactly that, to have the mind of Christ, and that you put on the new man. Praise God. We have a new man, a new person to put on. You put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's how Adam and Eve were created. That's how mankind was created, in righteousness and true holiness. But something happened. Praise God. Jesus Christ has corrected that situation. That is the sinfulness that we lived in. Praise God. He sent His Son because He loved us. He sent the Comforter because He loved us. Jesus Christ lives within us because He loves us. He cares about us. He's for us in all things. What a Savior. Boy, won't we realize that trusting in Him brings forth the answers that we're seeking every time. Look into His Word. I was talking to somebody the other day about them quitting smoking. He was having a hard time quitting smoking. And I told him, I said, every time you start to go get a cigarette, or you want a cigarette, pull out your phone. He's got a Bible on his phone, like most of us do, and start reading some scripture and ask the Lord to help you. And the guys with us started laughing. After they walked off, I said, you know I'm serious as a heart attack, right? He goes, yes, sir, I know. The answer really is in the Word of God and trust in Him. Oh, He will deliver. As we seek Him, knock on that door, He will open it. It's a promise.